Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hedgecock, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They sought me for ministry, blessings and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled. That is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him, grow up in Him, and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message called The Way of Righteousness. Jesus was speaking to the religious Jews in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 32. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, I'm reading verse 32. "For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and yea, when ye had seen it, repented not afterwards, that ye might believe him." In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Matthew 21:32 says, "For John came to you walking in the way of an upright man, in right standing with God, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the harlots did believe him. And you, even when you saw that, did not afterwards change your minds and believe him, adhere to, trust in, and rely on what he told you." John the Baptist was telling the educated religious Jews to repent. Jesus spoke in parables so that those with a heart after God, following a way that seems right, could repent later. The religious Jews did not even repent when they saw transformed lives from John's message of repentance. We read in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, I'm reading verse 1. "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea," verse 2, "and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Verse 3, "For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Verse 4, "And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey." The harlots believed John the Baptist because they saw that he was denying himself and did not just do what he wanted. In the wilderness he had overcome his flesh, eating wild locusts and honey. He wore clothes made out of camel's hair. The Apostle John wrote in 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, this is 1 John chapter 3, I'm reading verse 7. "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he's righteous." Verse 8. "He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Jesus is the Word of truth, manifest in the flesh, sent to remove all the excuses for sin, built on lies by the devil. God is not the problem. The devil is not even the problem. The problem is man rebelling in the flesh rather than submitting to God to do his perfect will by grace through faith. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verses 7 to 11. This is John's Gospel, chapter 15, I'm reading verse 7. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Verse 8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." Verse 9, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." Verse 10, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, and even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love." Verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." You are responsible for the lack of fruit in your own life in complicated situations. You will never have a lasting joy serving the flesh when you are suffering or feeling uncomfortable. Many do not let God make the most important decisions in their lives. Do not blame the church, an imperfect upbringing, or corrupt authorities for a lack of love, not obeying his rightly revealed word of truth. The love and faith you need comes from God when you obey the Spirit. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6, verses 19 to verse 22. This is Romans chapter 6. I'm reading verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Verse 20. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Verse 22. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. The word wages in Strong's is number 3800. It is a neuter of a presumed derivative of the same as the word rations for a soldier. And that is by extension a stipend or a payment of wages. The word gift in Strong's is number 5486. It comes from another word which means a divine gratuity. That is deliverance from danger or passion. Specifically, a spiritual endowment, that is subjectively religious qualification or objectively miraculous faculty, a free gift. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in Chapter 4 on Understanding and Enjoying Your Salvation, on pages 60 and 61, Joseph Hedgecott writes, one of the Holy Spirit's job is to convince you that you are lost. It is likely that when you were saved, this conviction came through preaching. The Spirit convicted you and you believed in what the Word said about your spiritual condition. Then you heard the good news of what Jesus did on the cross. When you accepted what he did for you and confessed your sin, you were saved. The Spirit came into you. And the first thing he did was bear witness that you are a child of God, Romans 8:16. You should have felt the burden of conviction before you got saved. At repentance, the burden lifted, and you should have felt wonderful because you were forgiven of all of your sins. As guilt and shame left, joy and peace came because you were made right with God and were no longer condemned to hell. The more thoroughly you accepted the reality of where you were, and the more open you were to the salvation Jesus provided for you, the more dramatic your conversion experience was. It is tragic to have a mild conversion. If you experienced deep conviction, you also enjoyed great relief when you were saved. You will not stop sinning if you are still on a way that seems right. If you believe anything contrary to the truth, you have adjusted the word of truth to fit what you want to believe, so you can do what you want when you want. Through conviction, the bad fruit in your life is like a compass telling you where you are now and where you will end up if you do not repent. Jesus paid the price so that you can save yourself with the gift of eternal life. Choose now between a life serving the flesh or a life serving righteousness through the Spirit. You do not get to choose individual situations. If you listen to the devil whispering in your ear, telling your carnal mind to do what it wants, when it wants, you will serve sin. God is love, and always raising up preachers of righteousness that can use the bad fruit in your life to prove that you are not on the way of righteousness personally. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm reading verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Eternal life is a free gift that you have to use all the time to save yourself and not put on the shelf when you need answers. You do not lay hold of eternal life with both hands by just saying a prayer. Man, without hearing and obeying God through the gift of eternal life, becomes corrupt, dull of hearing God, opening doors for the devil again and again for the sake of the flesh. Bad habits are developed over a period of time in those listening to earthly feelings and emotions. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. This is Romans chapter 6. I'm reading verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Those yielding to the desires of the flesh face a huge uphill struggle today. As the world is passing away, even those in the church need to see the flames of hell just to turn from sin with God's grace and follow Christ. You will only get to know God by denying yourself consistently and taking up your cross daily in these last days. We read in Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. This is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, and reading verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. The word iniquities in Strong's is number 5771. It comes from another word which means perversity, that is, moral evil, fault, iniquity, mischief, or punishment of iniquity, sin. Iniquity is departing from the truth and leads to more iniquity. One small sin leads to another. God wants you to repent as soon as you see bad fruit appearing. He can make an exception for the first mistake, but it is then your iniquities that separate you from God. Those who depart from the truth do not believe in their heart that he is able to save those on the narrow way following Christ. Those on the broad way that look after their own interests are living in iniquity. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 2, verses 4 to 8. This is Romans chapter 2, I'm reading verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of the goodness and forbearance and long sufferings, not knowing that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance. Verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasuring up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Verse 6. Who will render to every man according to his deeds. Verse 7. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Verse 8. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. The word contentious in Strong's is number 2052. Perhaps from the same as another word meaning intrigue. That is, by implication, faction, contentious, strife. You will hinder the glory of God in your life using your mind to come to the truth. Your heart and mind needs to be still in order to listen, trust, and obey his instructions. Those listening to their own dreams or desires serve two masters instead and repent of bad works just so they can do what they want when they want. God can cover some of your sin now and again, but the goodness of God is there to give you more time to repent of dead works. Jesus said to his disciples in John 14, verses 1, I'm reading to verse 7. This is John's Gospel, chapter 14, starting in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there ye may be also. Verse 4. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Verse 5. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way? Verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Verse 7. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Jesus showed us the way of righteousness. If you do not know the way Jesus overcame the cross, you are ignorant. Thomas believed when he saw the holes in the hands of Jesus after he appeared in the upper room. He woke up to the fact that Jesus came in the flesh and he did not use his divine nature. Anyone born again that has received the Spirit of God can now follow Christ on the way of righteousness. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, this is Luke chapter 9, I'm reading verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Luke 9:23 says, and he said to all, if any person wills to come after me, let him deny himself, disown himself, forget, lose sight of himself and his own interests, refuse and give up himself, and take up his cross daily and follow me, cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example in living and, if need be, in dying also. Follow Jesus' example by denying yourself and taking up your cross daily. Christianity is not just another religion, but a relationship, trusting God with your whole life. If the cross is before you and the world behind you, then you are seeking situations where you can obey under pressure. Otherwise, you'll be like Peter and deny Christ when the pressure is too much for you. By grace, those taking up their cross daily are ready for anything. Jesus said to the religious leaders in Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 to 31. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, I'm reading verse 28. But what think ye? A certain man who had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. Verse 29. He answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he repented and went. Verse 30. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Verse 31. Whither of them two did the will of his father? And they say unto him, the first. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. God can use failures to wake you up to righteousness and enter the kingdom of God through deep repentance. There is fruit of repentance and fruit of entering the kingdom. Grace for the Jews working in God's vineyard ran out. If anything stops you from obeying exactly what God says under pressure, the problem is in you, not in God. You can then enter the kingdom of God by grace through faith and work on your foundation with his help. Is someone entering the kingdom of God ahead of you by grace through faith? Jesus was speaking in Luke chapter 15, verses 11, I'm reading to verse 32. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, starting in verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. Verse 12. And the younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided unto them his living. Verse 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Verse 15, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. Verse 16, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. Verse 18, I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Verse 19, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. Verse 21, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Verse 22, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. Verse 23, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Verse 24, for this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Verse 25, now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. Verse 26, and he called one of the servants and asked, what these things mean? Verse 27, and he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Verse 28, and he was angry and would not go in, therefore came his father out and entreated him. Verse 29, and he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Verse 30, but as soon as thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Verse 31, and he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Verse 32, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, and is alive again, and was lost, and is found. Someone can come to their senses through the misery of serving sin, like the prodigal son, and repent. Saul eventually saw that there was nothing good in him, following a way that seems right on the road to Damascus, and had to repent of dead works when he met Christ. James wrote in James chapter 1, verses 12 to 17. This is James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Verse 13. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. Verse 14. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse 15. Then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Do you want the crown of life? If you work on your foundation so that you can still hear God under pressure, you'll get it. God is no respecter of persons. When you make changes to your faith through repentance, it's not wrong to ask God for the same situation to repeat itself, to see if you can endure the temptation where you sinned before. If you do not sin, the new revelation you receive for repentance has become part of your foundation. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm reading verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another build thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. Verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Paul was a master builder, following the example of Jesus. He wanted to make sure that after he repented, what he believed was solid and built upon the same faith that Christ had in his Father carrying the cross. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 6. This is Romans chapter 5, I'm reading verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, verse 4. And patience experience, and experience hope, verse 5. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Paul expected Christ to make a way for him when he was helpless, seeking righteousness. In trials, Paul gained eternally, opening his heart to God and rejoicing. Trying to do anything in the flesh is a waste of time and energy. Through doubt, you will not receive what is available in the kingdom to obey perfectly. You can obey consistently by faith in these last days, as this world is passing away, if you believe. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God has been here on this earth already for nearly 2,000 years for those with a heart after God. The kingdom of God is a righteous, everlasting kingdom that is giving everyone a chance to repent and learn from their mistakes. It's not political. It provides peace and joy and a righteousness for those with a heart after God. To live there, respond to the correction of the Holy Spirit through conviction, where the pressure causes you to doubt or move in the flesh. If you do, then you will receive eyes to see the lies that you believe to be the truth with the least amount of discomfort. Do this at the first opportunity, as the test will be repeated otherwise. We read in John chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. This is John's Gospel, chapter 1, I read verse 16. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You get grace and truth to do what is right in this world of sin if you're born again. If you're getting grace and truth when you deserve judgment, you know the kingdom of God has come near so that you can save yourselves. Those using the grace as an occasion of the flesh need to repent deeply. Those reaping the consequences of sin need to use the grace and truth urgently before time runs out. There is no excuse for disobeying God, but only reasons. The reasons can be identified and removed through repentance. The bride is busy making herself ready now. God has not lowered his standards. It was God's plan through the law for everyone to humble themselves and get grace through conviction. Use grace and truth to get to the root of sin and get more answers and repent before time runs out. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. This is Proverbs chapter 3, I'm reading verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Verse 2. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. The word mercy in Strong's is number 2617. It comes from another word which means kindness, by implication towards God, piety, rarely reproof, or subjectively beauty, favour, good deed, goodness, kindly, loving kindness, merciful kindness, mercy, pity, reproach. Those on the way of righteousness, do not let mercy and truth get away from them. God is holy, and sin cannot come in his presence. You get God's mercy and truth by staying humble. With mercy, you get more time to learn how to keep his commandments in different situations. We read in Acts chapter 13, verse 43. This is Acts chapter 13, I'm reading verse 43. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Continue in the grace, and you will make progress spiritually. Those who are religious need persuading as they listen to a wrong voice and think that they can come to truth through the knowledge of the scriptures using their carnal minds instead. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm reading verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Through conviction, God is showing you what you need to work on now. Paul learned some lessons the hard way with grace and was passing them on to Timothy and other faithful men before he died. You should be grateful for the lessons you learn from others following Christ. If you listen, you will not have to endure their hardships. You will have time to do even greater works as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, if you're strong in the grace and not lazy with those answers. We read in Acts chapter 14, verses 19 to 22. This is Acts chapter 14, I'm reading verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Verse 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, and to Iconium and Antioch. Verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Those processing everything with their minds without any tribulation will not enter the kingdom of God in these last days. Paul had been stoned and then went back to Lystra. Seeing Paul alive started a revival in all those cities. Paul did not waste his time going somewhere else more comfortable for the flesh. He then had to check and see who was really following Christ among those just standing around his dead body in Lystra. If you maintain Jesus as Lord of your life, you will have grace as the pressure increases slowly. With grace and truth, you can live and function in the kingdom of God now. Jesus said in Luke chapter 16 and verse 10, this is Luke's gospel, chapter 16, I'm reading verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Start obeying God in the small things and make no excuses. Doing what he says under pressure. If you are faithful in the little things, you'll be faithful in the much. Do not deceive yourself. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. I'm reading Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death, grace dramatically increased for those who have a heart after God when the law became an ineffective source of conviction through the religious Jews and the doctrines they created. Christ died so everyone with a heart after God can save themselves by obeying the Spirit instantly in these last days. There is no excuse for ignorance in the body of Christ. Doubts will cause you to listen to your flesh and believe that you can come to truth without being baptized into his death. There is grace for you to learn the Spirit-led life and not to go on sinning, making decisions with your mind. John wrote in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 to 10. This is 1 John chapter 1, I'm reading verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Confess your sins, or you will not be forgiven. Sin is unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is anything that is contrary to God's perfect will for your life in thought, purpose, or action. It is now possible to confess and then repent deeply of all unrighteousness with grace and truth. First, get back in his presence by humbling yourself and confessing your sin. You will have to admit that you did not do exactly what God wanted because you did not trust him with all your heart. You did not love the truth because you had another agenda, afraid, and listened to your flesh instead. James said in James chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. This is James chapter 4 and verse 6. But he gives more grace. Wherefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Either God is assisting you, or he is resisting you. If you take over the lordship and decide what to do yourself, then you are proud like the devil. Grace is for the humble. There is grace where you are now, but there is no grace to stay where you are. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm reading verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse 21. If a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. God knows those that are his in every congregation and chastens them. Be faithful wherever you are now. You may be surrounded by those departing from the truth in these last days. When Jesus came the first time, he did not remove the Roman Empire or the religious leaders, deceiving the people. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse 20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Some leaders with big churches are spreading cancerous lies like you don't need to confess your sins. God will use leaders for ignoble purposes to keep churches happy and lukewarm, believing lies until they purge themselves by obeying the truth. You can also become a hypocrite for the sake of your flesh after repenting of bad works. Your righteousness has to increase in complicated situations, or you will sin when a small trial comes. We read in the Psalms 119, verses 9 to 12. This is in the Psalms, 119, starting in verse 9. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Verse 12. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Doing works does not save anyone, but those who do not study will only have a superficial relationship with God and sin exposed to a small amount of pressure. Through conviction, you are authorized to study the word of truth in that area. You only sin because you believe lies. At the root of all sin is a lie that you believe to be the truth. It's not a lie that you believe to be a lie. To hear his voice consistently and get to know God, you have to seek righteousness through his rightly revealed word of truth, not the written word. And you have to hide his personal word for you in your heart. Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 to 22. This is 2 Peter chapter 2, I'm reading verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Verse 21. For it being better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Verse 22. But it's happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. The word righteousness in Strong's is number 1343. It comes from another word which means equity of character or act, specifically Christian, justification or righteousness. Those not seeking righteousness in these last days will end up wallowing in the mire without grace and truth on a way that seems right. You'll only escape corruption by following Jesus' example, by emptying yourself of your own righteousness and having no opinions. Do not excuse yourself based on what anyone else is doing or not doing. James wrote in James chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. This is James chapter 1, I'm reading verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Verse 20. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word which is able to save your souls. James was helping the first fruits harvested from among the Jews, convicted by the Spirit in their hearts of killing the Christ. Those who were baptized by Peter were forgiven. Those scattered in the persecution had to swiftly hear God to escape evil and not get angry in complicated situations. They also had to find food and clothes in humble circumstances by asking the Lord. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. This is Philippians chapter 4. I'm reading verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. The wise hear what God wants before they start listening to their own ideas and opinions. Thinking is dangerous. Jesus is Lord, and he needs to tell you what to think about, so you have a consistent peace in these last days. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5, I'm reading to verse 11. This is Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Verse 7, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he of whom the father chastens not? Verse 8, but if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Verse 10, for when they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Verse 11, now no chastising for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Chastening is not pleasant, but necessary to have the peaceable fruit of righteousness and be part of the bride of Christ. If you have ears to hear, you will be reminded of things rushing in the morning through conviction or direction. God is treating us now like sons. God is your heavenly Father and knows what you need to do now. Through the Spirit, he will remind you like your mother to brush your teeth, wash your face, or do other domestic duties and spend time studying. God cares for you, so let him remind you what to do and endure this chastening. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8 verses 1 to 4. This is Romans chapter 8. I'm reading verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The pass mark in God's school is 100%. You will fail often in the beginning, but get grace to learn from your mistakes. There is no condemnation in Christ. Only by yielding to the flesh will you experience condemnation. Jesus came to fulfill and not to abolish the law. Jesus did this without using his divine nature. God has made it possible by grace through faith for you to keep the specific commands of Jesus for your life, no matter what. Jesus knows what you can handle as Lord of your life. Listen to the flesh, and you will come under the law of sin and death. You can walk after the Spirit consistently as well as the flesh. It's your choice. Bad habits make it harder to obey the Holy Spirit, but not impossible. To break the bad habits, start with the small things. Have no other agenda, and you will get God's timing right in every area. When you repent deeply of anything else that is controlling you apart from Jesus, through obedience to the Holy Spirit, you will be set free. Jesus said in John 5:30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If you abide in Christ and do what he says, you will never sin again. You will always experience his grace if you're humble. He wants you to overcome. In all his actions, Jesus was justified, even letting himself die on the cross for sinners. To consult your own will, you have to use your mind. Jesus never did this. Jesus also said in John 16, verses 7 to 12. This is John's Gospel, chapter 16, I'm reading verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. Verse 8. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 9. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Verse 10, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Verse 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. The way of righteousness includes listening and being corrected by the Holy Spirit. Under pressure, you will only be ignorant of righteousness by listening to your flesh, your feelings, and opinions. Jesus could not speak about everything because his disciples were not ready. Jesus mentioned three areas where the Holy Spirit will prove everyone not on the way of righteousness. Number one, sin. That is any offense against God specifically. Number two, righteousness, equity of character in complicated situations. And number three, judgment, divine law, accusation, condemnation, and damnation. Conviction is a blessing. The day of judgment for your life is fixed, so use a notebook and keep a sin list. Repentance takes time, so you will run out of time to change if you procrastinate or delay. The Holy Spirit is the school teacher and drill sergeant to reprove and remind you of three things if you have not hardened your heart to conviction. He will provide information in these areas to complete your salvation. He can tell you when and where you sinned and took over the Lordship, and what you should have done instead. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. This is Philippians chapter 2, I'm reading verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Philippians 2, 12 to 13 says, therefore, my dear ones, as you've always obeyed my suggestions, so now not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I'm absent, work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling, self-distrust with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidity, shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. To obey the Holy Spirit consistently, you will need some supervision initially and submit to someone who's following Christ on the narrow way. He or she will help you change as time is running out. Leaders that use their minds to come to the truth are on a way that seems right, that ends in death, and cannot help you on the way of righteousness. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 34. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. The church have woken up to the signs that the mark of the beast is just around the corner, but he did not wake up to the fact that the church is living in darkness, using their minds, trying to come to truth. Ministries and preachers seeking vainglory and keeping the church spiritually dead have not yet been removed. Joseph Hitchcock wrote three volumes with the title, Wake Up, Time is Running Out. Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity. Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually. And Volume 3, Spiritual Maturity. Have you ignored teaching or conviction that you need to be righteous in a complicated situation since you are born again? He does not want you to be ignorant. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 34 says, awake from your drunken stupor and return to sober sense and your right minds and sin no more. For some of you have not the knowledge of God. You are utterly and willfully and disgracefully ignorant and continue to be so, lacking the sense of God's presence and all true knowledge of him. I say this to your shame. God's divine law still has the power through conviction to wake you up spiritually before time runs out. If you do not repent deeply and keep sinning, then you are willfully and disgracefully ignorant. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 5, verses 3, I'm reading to verse 16. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, starting in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Verse 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Matthew 5, verse 3 says, blessed, happy to be envied, and spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions, are the poor in spirit, the humble, who rate themselves insignificant, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Being poor in spirit is not answering back or arguing. It takes two people to argue. So if you strive or debate, you'll always have arguments in your house. Give mercy and you'll get mercy. Without mercy, you will get under condemnation, faint, and give up. If you mourn following Christ, you'll be comforted, so you can get to the root issue. The meek are not afraid of authority now. Remain submitted to God and ask Him consistently what to do in complicated situations. If your heart is pure, you will see God make a way for you. The changes in your lifestyle through repentance will affect others around you. Those serving two masters will feel uncomfortable. Being salt and light to others is part of the way of righteousness. This is the blessed life, even if it does not appear to be. James wrote in James chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. This is James chapter 1, starting in verse 1. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Verse 5, and if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. The pressure will increase gradually, following Christ by the Spirit. So you have to seek righteousness to maintain your communication with God to overcome. James was writing to the new converts scattered in the persecution that had doubts based on the complicated situations they were facing. His death on that cross had become faint to them through the cares of the world in other countries. You need to be still and ask for wisdom and believe God will answer you instantly. We read in Luke chapter 4, verses 2 to 4. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. I'm reading verse 2. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterwards hungered. Verse 3. And the devil said to him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Verse 4. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Jesus was living by every word that came from the mouth of the Father for at least 40 days in the wilderness. Agree to do whatever he says instantly when he speaks. He can be trusted with your whole life as well as daily strength. You can only trust God up to the level that you believe he really loves and cares for you personally. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. This is Hebrews chapter 6. I'm reading verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. You may know the doctrine of Christ in your head, but that is not enough. To reach perfection, you will have to overcome temptation. If you cannot change or find it hard to do so, it's because you have a natural education and your flesh is alive and well. If you have only repented of bad works, you have another agenda. If you hear the knocking sound of Jesus in these last days, you will need to hear and accept the message of repentance from dead works. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 3. I'm reading verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou would be cold or hot. Verse 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Verse 17. Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. Verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. On the way of righteousness, God is not going to make it easier for your flesh. I started enjoying intimacy with God after repenting of dead religious works. Other young people in the church I was attending were doing whatever they wanted, while I experienced a lot of conviction and correction. Before I went through a breaking, a door leading to intimacy in my life was closed with Jesus knocking on the other side because I was lukewarm. Using Jesus' name or saying a correctly worded prayer did not open this door. God is no respecter of persons. Those who are lukewarm in their relationship with God must be zealous for conviction, stay hot, and repent to open this very important door now or remain closed. Process conviction quickly and do not get offended of what God requires. God chastens those he loves. Here are some definitions for further study. Number one, cold is doing what you want when you want. Two, hot is doing the will of God in thought, purpose, and action every day under the pressure to compromise. Three, making decisions with your mind is rebellious as this is your lordship and Jesus is Lord now by the Spirit. 4, using your mind to console your own will is unrighteous, as Jesus never consulted his. John 5:30. 5, leaning to your own understanding is foolish because only God has all the information. Isaiah 55:8-9. 6, earthly wisdom is devilish and sensual, making the flesh more comfortable and to be used only if the Lord says. James 3:15. 7, a dead work is any work that the Holy Spirit did not tell you to do. Everyone who repents of dead works, not just bad works, will receive the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote in Ephesians 2:1-3. This is Ephesians 2:1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. There is no more grace to do anything he did not tell you to do. By obeying Christ instantly through faith, the Spirit will quicken or empower you. You will not overcome the devil if you still love your flesh more than the truth in any area. If sin manifests through the desires of the flesh, the mind is still corrupt. By becoming like a little child, you can go from cold to hot in one day. The devil wants to make you lukewarm by appealing to your carnal desires. So deny yourself and take up your cross daily. The devil is controlling all mankind through feelings, common sense, and reason, as well as the lust of the flesh. Do not let the devil give you an excuse for disobedience through the flesh. You were created in the image of God, but recreated in the image of the devil by serving the flesh. If you're still a child of disobedience after being born again, it's only because you want to be for the sake of your flesh. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21. This is Matthew's Gospel 7:21. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. If God tells you to enter the kingdom of heaven, all the resources of heaven are available to do this through repentance from dead works and faith in God. To live consistently in the kingdom of heaven requires instant obedience. If you make excuses for the sake of your flesh, you will fail to enter. If you try to obey in the flesh, you will fail. The kingdom of heaven is here now by the Spirit. Most want heaven, but they do not want the King of heaven making all the decisions in their lives now. Heaven is not a place where someone can still do what they want when they want and live forever. This option is not available, as that would be corruption. Jesus said in Matthew 7:22-29. This is Matthew's Gospel 7:22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Verse 24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. Verse 25. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. Verse 27. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Verse 28, and it came to pass that when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Verse 29, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Anyone can hear God in things like preaching or going for a prayer walk, but not change spiritually. Those walking in spiritualized flesh are comfortable serving two masters on the broad way. A pastor is now a viable career, not a calling of God by faith, where you can lose your job for preaching the truth. People are astonished today when they hear the truth or sound teaching. If you know the storm is coming, build a spiritual foundation that will not stop working when the storm comes. You will need to do what is right, not what makes your life more comfortable for the flesh. Spiritual storms in this life are increasing as Jesus approaches. Do not use your mind to solve earthly difficulties. The world passing away is an opportunity to learn obedience to the Spirit. You will need to learn this in ministry for the sake of healing or hearing God for someone else. You have to hear God for yourself and establish Him as Lord. You do not have a relationship with God just because the gifts of the Spirit are operating in your life. We read in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 to 6. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 20. I'm reading verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Verse 5. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that's part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Those left behind at Jesus' appearing will have to pay with their lives in the tribulation to rule and reign with Christ. There is an easy way and a hard way of doing everything. He can make a way where there seems to be no way. For those on the way of righteousness now, those denying self, taking up their cross daily, are following sound teaching and get to rule and reign with Christ when he appears. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 22, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Jesus was speaking to the church of Laodicea. But God does not have two standards. God is already knocking, and everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Churches with large congregations were told to stop having a regular form of service during the COVID years to stop the spread of a deadly virus. Tragically, loved ones were lost and fragile lives were broken during a worldwide pandemic. The comfortable and rich were affected. An imposed lockdown was an opportunity for everyone to study the Bible at home. Some businesses affected financially are still struggling, looking for solutions with earthly wisdom. God is in control, and what is happening now is for the sake of his bride. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm starting in verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Verse 2. but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. Verse 6, for God, who commands the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. Everyone serving the devil through lust is spiritually blind. If you believe in your heart that Jesus is ruling now, you will respond to conviction by the Spirit. The more you walk with God, the more you will realize you are still falling short of His glory. The spiritual do not faint only because of God's mercy to finish their race His way. Sin separating you from His presence is evidence you were lazy, not seeking righteousness in His kingdom. There is a saying, the ounce of prevention is better than the pound of cure. You will not sin seeking righteousness with grace and truth, and accumulate wisdom asking God everything on the narrow way. Where is your treasure? It should be in things that you repented of under pressure, so you do not compromise and win the crown of life. John wrote in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. This is 1 John chapter 2. I'm reading verse 1. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Verse 2. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. The word propitiation in Strong's is number 2434. It means atonement, that is, concretely, an expiator or propitiation. John was writing to those just starting on the way of righteousness. If you do sin and come out of Christ, learn why. Those who know him also know the way. They keep his commandments under pressure. Joseph Hedgecott, the author of the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, taught everyone to set up a notebook to respond immediately to conviction in all areas of life. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 13. Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Church is accepting the academic system of learning, for the sake of their flesh have rejected the narrow way. Ministries using common sense and reason will not help you reach maturity, but the narrow way will. Conviction on the way of righteousness is a blessing. Those who love truth rejoice, seek, and find the root issues, why they sin, when it manifests due to pressure. Those earthly-minded see pressure as foolish or unnecessary and need help to find the narrow way. Your priorities are wrong if you are listening to the flesh and want to avoid conviction. We read in John chapter 8, verses 30 to 38. This is John's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse 30. As he spoke these words, many believed on him. Verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 33. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Verse 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. Verse 35. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the Son abides ever. Verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Verse 37. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. Verse 38. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. Those trusting in the finished work of Christ today, that do not continue in his word when circumstances change, are deceiving themselves. Doctrine taught by Jesus or an apostle, passed on to you, must be accepted with your whole heart as if it is truth until proven otherwise. Those who do not accept sound teaching with their whole heart have a confidence in the flesh and will serve sin. Even with the best teacher inside, if you keep making excuses for the sake of your flesh, you will never stop sinning. Those who listen to the teacher and follow his instructions do not make the same mistake twice. You become a servant of the devil by yielding to the flesh. Seek what he requires of you daily and make no excuses to be a disciple of Christ. The new converts here started defending lies to the point that they had a desire to kill when Jesus told them the truth. If malice appears in your heart when convicted, repent. We read in Revelation chapter 22, verses 10 to 14. This is Revelation chapter 22 and verse 10. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Verse 13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Be consistently righteous in these last days, or you will return to your old ways and be left behind. Grace is increasing to learn from your mistakes, all the promises of God, and for those who have a heart after God. The same truth is here now by the Spirit for nearly 2,000 years, because truth doesn't change. Jesus said to his disciples in John 14 and verse 21, this is John's Gospel, chapter 14, I'm reading verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. If you love Jesus, you will not let anything get between you and him. You should have and consistently keep his personal commands as the pressure increases on the narrow way out of love. His command might be a simple task like what time to go to bed or what time to get up. The consistently righteous do not make the same mistake twice when they miss God's best. They see his commandments as a challenge, an adventure, and almost exciting as they expect to overcome under pressure with the grace of God and the Holy Spirit as their teacher. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Edgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow path, sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Edgecock. If you want to grow up spiritually, not be earthly minded, and come to maturity, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Edgecock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious dead works, where you do not have to deny yourself and take up your cross daily. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow way. The broad road that leads to destruction looks good. It signposted heaven this way. And many well-meaning good people attending church are on the broad road. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book, The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've been sharing with you about the way of righteousness. And this involves walking with God, being close to Him all the time. We have the best teacher on board. We can experience His presence every day. And as soon as we lose that presence, we know something is not right. And that's an opportunity to repent. You don't have to get under condemnation. God knows us. He is light and He can see every sin that we might have somewhere. And He is not ashamed to call us sons. What He wants you to do now is grow up. And my prayer for you is that you will get on that way of righteousness. And you will work on the things that He shows you and use a sin list. I want to pray with you right now. Father in heaven, for those who accept this invitation, that they will make no excuses for doing what is right under pressure. Father, as they reach out to you for help, I pray that you reward them for their faith in you and answer them according to your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. God bless you and thank you for listening.